This is the night we celebrate the birth of Jesus and the light that each of us brings to earth. I don't know if it's important to remember this at Christmas, but it's interesting that the Bible gives us two completely different Christmas stories. You know, in the Bible we have four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're each short biographies of Jesus, and they're each different. Only two of them even have stories about his birth. And we've combined those stories over the years. In Matthew, the birth of Jesus is pretty perfunctory. Most of Matthew's story is about Joseph learning that Mary is expecting this divine child and coming to accept it. And then Mary has the baby and poof, you're done. Luke, who wrote a few decades later and was such a good writer and embellished everything, Luke is the one who gives us the census and the trip to Bethlehem on a donkey, no room at the inn, and Mary giving birth in a stable, wrapping the baby in swaddling clothes, laying him in a manger. And then the angels sing in the heavens and the shepherds hurry to visit the child. That's all from Luke. You have to go back to Matthew for the wise men who bring gifts to the baby nearly 2 weeks later. And the wise men talked to Herod, the ruler, who was very threatened by this child who was already so special. So eventually Mary and Joseph just fled to Egypt to protect the baby. They stayed a couple of years until they moved back to Nazareth. So the wise men and Herod are only in Matthew. We always have lots of visitors here on Christmas Eve who may not be familiar with Unity. So let me just say one of the main things to know is that Unity teaches the divinity of every person. Just as Jesus was born to express God on earth, so were you. That idea has actually been around since the time of Jesus. And Christmas reminds us the divine is the core or essence of each of us. We're made in the image and likeness of God. And not everyone believes they're divine the first time they hear it, which, interestingly enough, is exactly where the Christmas story starts, with the news that the divine is being born in a human being, a baby. Mary and Joseph react to this news in two different and pretty typical ways. In Luke, the angel Gabriel tells Mary she's going to have a divine child, and she spends a few moments asking, "Really? Are you sure? Because how could that happen?" And then she's thrilled. And she sings, "My soul magnifies the Lord." Joseph, on the other hand, doesn't believe it. His story's in Matthew. He hears through the grapevine that Mary's expecting, and he is not happy. He's ready to call off their wedding. But an angel comes to him in a dream. Now notice, Joseph has to be asleep for this. His conscious mind is shut off, and then spirit can get through to him. In the dream, he's told this is all part of God's plan. He should go ahead and marry Mary. How do you react to the news that the divine is born in you? Is it like Mary? Wow, cool. Or is it like Joseph? Oh, that can't be right. Or maybe both. Because here's the thing about the Bible. In Unity, you'll hear us say we don't take the Bible literally, but we still talk about it all the time. And we interpret it, we would say, metaphysically, which just means symbolically. We look at every person, place, or thing in the Bible as a part of our individual consciousness. And we have to claim it all, good and bad, as part of us. So the Bible characters we love and those we don't all represent some aspect of us. That's what makes the Bible meaningful all these centuries later. So let's look at these characters in the Christmas story and see how they fit us. So far we have Mary, Joseph, and an angel. Angels are messengers from God. They bring good tidings of great joy. And whether you believe literally in angels or not, think of them as part of yourself. What would a messenger from God be within you? Intuition, inner wisdom, the voice of the divine within that guides you and says, "Fear not," and nudges you toward this idea that you are divine. Hearing this news, there's probably part of you too that's like Joseph. This is weird. Get me out of here. And that part has to pipe down and fall asleep in order to have clearer connection with the divine. Sometimes we call it monkey mind. Men in the Bible always represent our thinking nature. And over time, our thinking nature can expand to accept this idea of our divinity. There's also a part of you that's like Mary, already aware of your divine connection and open to guidance, to possibilities. Women in the Bible represent our emotional nature. So she's already feeling joy, love, acceptance. And she represents the feminine quality of receptivity. Now, it doesn't matter what gender you are. You have all of these qualities, masculine and feminine, thinking and feeling. And because Mary's a young maiden in this story, she represents purity. And that, too, is part of your consciousness. It's through this purity the divine can be born, the higher self can emerge. The soul prepares for and participates in this process. Just as a mother prepares and participates in the birth of a child. So you see how this works in the Christmas story? Our budding spiritual awareness is like a newborn, fragile, has to be protected, swaddled. This birth took place in a stable, which at that time would have been a cave, dark, mysterious, but safe, the symbol of the womb. Because there was no room at the inn. Think about an inn, crowded with all kinds of people, speaking different languages, men, women, different backgrounds, everybody just passing through. It's a confused and temporary stopping place that carries a price. You pay to be there. No way this tiny, fragile awareness of the divine could have emerged in all that chaos. It needed the quiet of a cave, just as we often tap into the divine in us through silence or meditation. Especially at first, we might need silence and solitude. Remember, Mary stayed silent after Jesus was born and pondered these things in her heart. The shepherds were guardians. They were out in the darkness, and in consciousness, that means unaware. But when they heard the news from the angels, they left the sheep, detached from their possessions and their duties, to go seek the child, the Christ, the truth. They don't stay there, but they return to their ordinary lives with new awareness. Jesus was a divine being, born by an act of God, with a special purpose for his human life. And every baby is. A baby is pure potential. For us, the baby is this new idea integrating all that is human and all that is divine in us. And just as a child becomes the center of the family, the Christ is the center of our consciousness. The Christ is different from Jesus, the human being. Christ is a Greek word meaning the anointed one, and in unity we use it to mean the divine in each of us. The Christmas story illustrates the inner rebirth process through which the higher self emerges. And if only the story could end there, because it's so simple. The higher self has emerged, we're aware of our own divinity, it's protected and nurtured. But we have to go back to Matthew to finish the story. His version focuses on what happens after the birth of Jesus. And he introduces some other parts of ourselves that we have to acknowledge. It's the clash of wisdom and fearful ego. Enter King Herod. Herod's title was already King of the Jews. He did not like hearing this special baby had been born to the Jews. Now, any king is a symbol of well-established ego, but Herod was tyrannical ego. He killed anyone who got in his way, including his family. Is there a part of us like that? Okay, maybe we don't act on it. But there might be a part of us that says, I want everything my way, and I'm not surrendering to anyone. Fortunately, the wise men are part of us too. They saw the star even before Jesus was born. They recognized truth and pursued it, even when it was strange and outside their realm of knowledge. In fact, no one but the wise men saw that star. And it was in the east, where the sun rises, where the light comes from, where God is, the inner spiritual realm. They brought gifts. Gold is abundance. It's enduring wealth. Frankincense was used in temple ceremonies, so it represents holiness and purity. Myrrh was perfume, also used for embalming. It foreshadows the death of Jesus. The wise men were supposed to go back and tell Herod about this baby, but they didn't, and Herod was having a fit. The name Herod also means heroic, and he went to heroic lengths to save himself, as any ego would. He couldn't find Jesus. He couldn't pin down exactly where the threat was coming from, so he had all the baby boys killed. Joseph was warned about Herod in another dream. Now, I'm guessing Joseph was more open to guidance by now. He was told to flee to Egypt, hide the baby, the Christ, until this new divine consciousness could take hold. And when it was safe, after Herod died, ego relented. The family moved up to Nazareth and nurtured Jesus as he grew up. The story of Christmas resonates with us, and we tell it every year because it's our story. In unity, we say, "I am the Christ," to acknowledge our own divinity. I am the Christ, and all those other people. Each of these characters is a part of each of us. Jesus was human and divine, just as we are. Jesus said we could do anything he could do, and he showed us what it looks like. He showed us what it means to know ourselves as part of God. Every time he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, I am one with the Father, he was talking about his divine nature and telling us what's possible for us too. He said, "You are gods. I am that I am," is the name of God. Jesus, the Christ, was the purest expression of the divine in human form. But we all have the Christ within, the light of God. Now, what do we do with this understanding of ourselves? Actually, that's what we talk about the rest of the year. Tonight, we just remember we are the light. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." The light of life is available to each of us. Not through anyone else, but from the Christ within, the higher self, the God self that you are. We light candles tonight remembering the child born 2,000 years ago who let us know that the Christ, the divine, is born in each of us. And then we go and share our light with the world. So let's take these thoughts into meditation. Meditation is a form of prayer. We simply become still and quiet. You might imagine yourself in a cave where it's dark and safe. And you are becoming aware of the higher self emerging in you. This is God within. It is the ever-present connection to all that is. You are fully human and fully divine, just as Jesus was. And whatever your first reaction to that idea, in the dark and the safety of this inner sanctum, let yourself explore your own divinity. That God is in you, with you, and living as you. The Christ is in you, just as it was in Jesus, in Buddha, in all the other teachers who expressed God so beautifully on this planet that we can never forget them. Each of us was born with a special purpose for this life. Each of us was born an expression of God on this earth. It's really a daunting task to know that we are living as God. And yet we are never alone, never separate. We always have access to the better angels of our nature for guidance, for truth, for wisdom. We are so grateful for this awareness. And we celebrate this Christmas by shining our divine light onto the earth. And so it is. Amen.
Please join me in the Alleluia. Alleluia.